Ahoy there, Bradford here. And can I just tell you, it's been a little challenging to record the voiceover this week, what with all the construction going on from the county right around the house. In case I didn't mention, my little studio is not soundproof, but just kind of sort of sound resistant. But irregardless, as my friend Bill would say, without further ado, here's episode 58 entitled Southbound, Headed North. Cue the marimbas. In this episode, we finally get the friggin' boat out of the marina. Have an interesting interaction at a bridge.
We hear him talking to the bridge again, and he says, "I didn't go through the last time."
And managed to have several how-not-to-sail moments.
There were so many crises on this trip, I didn't know which one you were talking about for my... I'm just teasing.
No, that's what we're looking for.
In the last episode, we had what looked like a bit of a crisis.
If we didn't get this engine fixed, we weren't going anywhere.
But we managed to fix the engine cooling and get us cranked up.
There we are. Yeah, baby.
You'll just say your name and I've been sailing for X number of years, something like that.
Yeah, I'm J. L. Moore and I've been sailing for about 50 years.
When I say we, I'm referring to our friend Jay.
I got the screwdriver and sure enough, whatever we did, dislodged the sludge that was stopping it up and all of a sudden it just started spewing water out. It was beautiful.
Unfortunately, it was too late in the day to cruise 30 miles down to Sarasota at 6 miles an hour, and the Admiral, that's Tanya, had a job starting the next morning in Sarasota. So we got a couple of rooms down there, stayed overnight, got the Admiral off to her job, and then drove back to the marina to hopefully bring the boat down to Sarasota just a day later than planned. Of course, even though we got the cooling water running through the engine, there were, as usual, a couple of things that were still not optimal. For one thing, I noticed the alternator belt was loose.
Even though we tightened it up, it has a tendency to come loose. And it looked like also it was wearing a little bit.
And although Jay and I tightened it up before we took off, it turned out to be one more thing weighing on my mind throughout the trip.
It worked enough, but every time we stopped, we'd go down and check the belt and tighten it up and everything else.
But there was also another thing.
I need to tighten that belt, and what else did I need? Oh, the oil.
Yeah, oil is always a good thing to have in your engine.
You think you have any ability to free the dipstick?
And it's hard to tell if you have enough oil if you can't get the dipstick out.
It's frozen in there at the moment.
Which, of course, is the case with us. I tried to get the dipstick free, but it felt like I was about to just deform the little circular pull handle.
I started pulling it, and it's not a complete loop, so I'm just bending it.
So we have a choice here.
Well, we can either trust there's still oil in there, or I got to figure out how to get the dipstick unfrozen.
Any guesses which way I went with that? Sometimes I feel like, for me at least, that cruising means limping from one port to the next. And that's probably because I'm the opposite of diligent. Now, I'd be a lot less cavalier if I were making an ocean crossing or something than I am just making a little coastal run in a well-built and reasonably well-maintained sailboat that I'm pretty familiar with at this point in an area covered by the Coast Guard and Towboat US. After all, it is a sailboat. I mean, it's not like I'm going to be in the narrow waters of the intracoastal waterway or around a bunch of multi-million dollar vessels in the marinas or anything like that. But wait, as they say in those cheesy TV commercials, there's more. It turns out I was also going from memory about how long it takes to get to Sarasota from my marina. I mean, I've been there a number of times. Who needs to consult the chart plotter? Now, the reasons our travel time is kind of important are twofold. One, if we don't get to Sarasota by 5 p.m., there will be no dock hands to assist us if it's breezy and we're docking between a couple of large, expensive boats. And two, well, It seems the running lights I need to be all safe and legal at night are challenged. As I explained to our boat neighbors, Ashley and Chris,
when I came down here 10 years ago, I said I wanted a masthead tricolor. So they said, okay. And they said, do you want to keep the deck level lights? And I was like, well, I guess not.
Whoops.
So I've reconnected the bow lights, which are incandescent and about that bright if they're not shorted out or if they don't have an open. And the stern, I don't know what happened to it, but in a pinch, I put a headlamp around the swim ladder.
In other words, my running lights are not exactly up to spec for boating in the intracoastal waterway after dark. So here we are, already departing later than we planned, with an engine that probably has enough oil to keep from burning up, an alternator belt that threatens to fly off, and I may or may not have guessed correctly whether we'll be arriving amongst the expensive mega yachts in Sarasota before dark, with dock hands available, or not. What could possibly go wrong? How Not to Sail, sponsored by our awesome Patreon patrons, by all the cool books and swag and general mayhem you can find at bobbitchin.com, and by the book How Not to Sail, which, like all things How Not to Sail, you can find at hownottosail.com.
Okay, then.
One of the many mistakes I usually make when cruising is underestimating just how long it takes to get stuff on or off the boat, which is kind of like a huge game of Tetris. I'd taken a lot of stuff off the boat to try and clean up and have access to the engine, and I'd also neglected to load all of my and the Admiral's stuff aboard the boat until it was time to depart. So by the time Jay and I got all the necessary boat stuff back aboard, plus sheets and pillows and towels, of which I only dropped one in the water, it was getting more toward noon than 10 a.m. when we finally took on some diesel fuel and motored out of the marina. By the time we got down to Egmont Key at the mouth of Tampa Bay, I was starting to feel like my recollection of how long it takes to get to Sarasota was a little off.
You said it'll be about 4 hours to get down to Sarasota. And I have been up and down this area, and I was thinking, 4 hours, man, that's a little quick. It gets down there a lot quicker than I used to.
And it started to dawn on me. It's about 4 hours to the north end of Longboat Key, and it's about 2 hours further to Sarasota.
I said, I didn't look at it. Well, it was about 6.5 hours or 6 hours, so we had to hump it on down there.
And did I mention my running lights are not exactly legal for running at night in the intracoastal? At least it looked like we'd get in before dark, but probably after the staff went home, and they typically don't give you your slip assignment until your arrival. So I had to get a little proactive.
She called them and told them we're going to be coming in late, and they gave us a slip number.
So as long as we made it in before dark, we'd presumably be okay. But there were still a couple of how-not-to-sail moments as we cruised south. Or should I say mostly motored, once we realized how behind schedule we were. The first, and undoubtedly the weirdest, began when we were approaching our first drawbridge at Anna Maria Island. And as is not uncommon on Channel 9, we heard a guy hailing the next bridge, which if you're southbound, is Cortez Bridge.
Good morning, Captain. The Cortez Bridge.
We heard someone call the Cortez Bridge.
And he said, this is sailing vessel.
And he said, this is southbound going north.
Southbound headed north, the guy says.
So we both looked at each other and I said, well, that's slightly confusing. And so we finally get down the Cortez Bridge and we hear him talking to the bridge again. And he says, I didn't go through the last time.
And the bridge tender says, you should have called me.
So they got into some sort of argument about whether he's supposed to let the bridge tender know that he's going to go through.
It's at this point I started to wonder if this fellow were smoking something funny. There was just a whole lot of excess verbiage you typically don't hear in a normal radio call.
We were in a little bit of a hurry, so since we're coming south and he was going north, you know, asked if he would mind if we went through first.
And instead of saying, no problem, or sorry, I'm on the way to the package store or something, he says,
nobody's time is more important than anyone else's time.
It's at this point I really wished I had the old recording device turned on.
You were very polite and said, okay, we'll let you go first, you know. What I wanted to say was, obviously, if you're sitting there and don't go through when the bridge is open, your time is not very important.
As it turned out, the bridge tender was pretty insistent that we could go at the same time, port to port, which, under the circumstances, was about as desirable as a dose of chlamydia, but I did as requested.
I think we got our horn out ready because we fully expected this guy to do something really weird.
I didn't make eye contact with this fellow, but as I kept my hand near the air horn and my eye on the bridge and this person transiting to port of us, I do believe he was gesturing and complaining about these two hooligans who had the temerity to ask for first passage.
I'm not going to say the name of the boat.
Jay is very kind not to mention the vessel name, but I'll just say that the boat seemed to be for sale, as it probably should be. Our final little fun moment as we cruised south came at the north end of Longboat Key, where the Admiral and I frequently stop at one of two restaurants on the water, and she can walk across the narrow island to Whitney Beach.
It's at the northern end of Longboat Key, and the channel gets very narrow, barely enough for one boat to pass through.
It also gets pretty shallow there, especially at low tide. Can you see where this is going?
In the middle of the course there, I mean, right smack in between the two buoys there and the markers, we kind of bumped along the sand in one spot.
I'd say we dug a trench for a few feet, but potato, potato.
In the same spot that I bumped along 20 years earlier.
Well, at least it's not just me. And just so you know, you cannot count on 8 feet of water in the ICW everywhere, or whatever the chart is touting, but at least in much of Florida, it's usually just sand. Finally, though, we did make it through to Sarasota.
It was one of those things that, you know, it was getting darker. Not dark, but about to be dark soon.
And I actually did a pretty good job of backing into the slip using my prop walk. So now we had actual accommodations in the city where the Admiral would be working the next couple of days, and it was time for me and Jay to consider our options. Should we try for Cabbage Key come Thursday when the Admiral wrapped up her job? That'd be another 10 hours away. It'd be a pretty major haul, and Jay and I were already starting to feel a little beat up. So maybe we should just make a little stop at Venice before heading back north. Or maybe there was a third option. One thing seemed certain. With everything we'd overcome so far, from engine cooling blockage to a loose fan belt, a complete lack of knowledge how much oil was in the engine, weirdos at drawbridges, and going aground, surely we were due for some smooth sailing, right? I think even Ray Charles can see what's coming. The only question is, what could possibly go wrong?
As we're backing in, you got almost end of pier, and you put it in forward just so that it would almost kiss the dock, but not quite. But it didn't do that.
Stay tuned, How Not to Sailor. Please join me again on Friday, May 3rd to see what our next destination was, or whether we made it there, and why my docking didn't go as planned. Hint, a kind of important part of the boat may have fallen off. Thanks as always to our awesome Patreon crew. And don't forget, you can help support How Not to Sail for as little as $3 a month. Also, thanks to you for listening and telling your friends. Please keep those kind 5-star reviews coming. I wanted to read some of them today along with a couple of select emails and How Not to Sailor hotline calls, But I shall get there, probably next episode. Also, just putting this out there, it looks like it's about time for a season 3 wrap party, isn't it? Let's put a pin in that, and maybe I'll have more on that as well in the next episode. Happy birthday to Tricia, and also to Dutch. Hope you have a great one. Okay, I'd better get out of here, and I'll see you in 2 weeks. Meanwhile, don't you be southbound headed north, and I'll see you next time on How Not to Sail. Screwing up is part of cruising. Let me show you how.
There were so many crises on this trip, I didn't know which one you were talking about for my... I'm just teasing.
No, that's what we're looking for. I think in terms of, can you just briefly see, what were the stakes there if we didn't pull this off?